T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal in Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you, the 18th of March, 2019. Did you have a great St. Paddy's Day? In the rearview mirror, Mr. Cleland.
All right, before we start all that, okay. Go ahead,
oh,
Buck.
Oh, wow. Okay, oh.
I don't have my headphones in yet, so I'm not listening to anything.
Wait, actually, I want to.
Go ahead. Just go ahead.
I want to pause this until you can have your headphones in at 6:15.
Why do I need to just
so
go ahead.
So the gloating can happen.
Just let it happen. Let that personality shine. Go,
brother.
Go.
You,
let them all.
I'm a Ducks fan.
I don't think that Buck needs to say anything because
he doesn't. He's quiet. He's quietly professional.
Your Twitter feed, it kind of got to that point on Saturday evening.
All I said was, it was really simple. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Uh huh.
That's it. I wasn't contentious.
You wouldn't have it any other way, Cam.
Yeah.
Before the game. When you want that, that's the matchup I wanted. I mean, there's rivalries.
Oh, I thought you meant with the result you wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
I'm like, I think you would have it a couple other ways.
Yeah. The only other way, look, that was, I'm give credit. I always give credit where credit is due.
Oh, we're talking, a beatdown.
We're talking about the Pac-12 championship game,
yeah,
by the way.
By the way, we're talking about the Oregon beatdown of Washington, which made them look pathetic to the point of they couldn't shoot, and their defense was great. Pritchard was really good. Really, really good. And Wooten is a stud, dude. I mean, and the more you just get a fact to watch the guy finally play, the way he plays above the rim and just destroys people as they come down the middle.
He is like a Jordan Bell light.
Well, I mean, I think he's better.
He's better. But he's got those. He gets up so fast when he's shot blocking.
Like, long arms.
And here's the thing with Kenny Wooten is that he is exactly what was missing for a large stretch of this season for Oregon basketball.
Yeah, that broken jaw.
Yeah, and he was
a big difference when you have that in there.
Think about the ups and downs that this Duck season has had, where you had Lewis King, who also, he's coming into his own, playing very well. He was supposed to be one of those freshman phenoms that came in, a one-and-doneer type, and he doesn't start the season due to an injury. And then this Ducks team loses Bol Bol, and Kenny Wooten has got the broken jaw, and he's out. And this team just missed an edge. It missed that presence inside, a little bit of nasty. Wooten has a little bit of that nasty in him. And Lewis King is coming around, and Peyton Pritchard, Mr. Solid in the Pac-12 tournament.
But it's not just, it's because a team has talent. You knew this team should have been, it's a coulda, shoulda, woulda. They would have been a top 10 team. Everybody knows that if everybody was healthy. But suddenly when you start to play better, that's what's great about it. But
yeah.
Oregon deserved it. They played well, but you get three teams in.
Boy.
You get three teams in and you get a championship is as much as it, I think, who was it? It was on with Golden Weagle this morning. Every time we see these championships of NCAA basketball, we'll talk about it more today. They are money grabs. That's really what they are.
Yes.
They're giant money grabs.
Well, of course they are.
TV sale. How much I would be curious if we just did the math on the value of college basketball's television contract from November to February compared to one weekend's full of championships.
It's a $1 billion TV deal that it's really starts this week.
No, yeah. Nobody knows. And I'm not going to be the guy that pretends to know everything about college basketball whatsoever. I'm going to be an expert on how to fill out a bracket. Suddenly, I'm going to tell you, pick this one.
Because
we're all watching this weekend, and that's it.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that's our textual relations day. How do you fill out your bracket, picking your upsets? We got a few nuggets
chalk
for you.
Taking chalk.
That's probably the smart move, especially in a year like this. But we want to know how you fill out your bracket. 55305, the Better You Today text line. I saw that 1 in 5 Americans Well, American adults bet on the NCAA tournament.
Is that that's adults.
Adults.
I bet there are a lot of kids under the age of 18 that are going to be doing brackets.
I remember my first bracket that I filled out with me and my idiot friends, seventh grade. Seventh grade was our first bracket where we had a little skin in the game.
My freshman year of high school, it was my first time collecting money. I was going around asking for people to submit brackets, and I was carrying around cash, and that wasn't really allowed at high school, but I was putting the pools together before you could even do it online.
So here's a question for you.
All right.
Let's talk about kids. My kids want to do the bracket with a bunch of dudes at a school.
Sounds like they're going to be betting like I was.
There's a couple boys that are notorious, don't pay up, but love to bet.
Yeah. Wait, how much money are these kids changing hands with these kids where there's a lot of
Monopoly numbers that come out, but suddenly when it comes time to push comes to shove, that money doesn't get exchanged. So my son's like, Dad, what do I need to do to get the money out of these guys? I said, well, we need to, there's some long trench coat guys that I can
call your cousin Guido.
We can find a way.
We're going to have him come over.
Do that stuff. Kids never pay bets. They never pay bets.
Call up Uncle Mario.
Well, I don't know who's organizing it, but the rule has got to be your bracket is thrown out if you don't pay by the tip off of the first game.
I think you should put money up front. Yeah. If you're going to do something, set it into the pool.
Tip off of the first game. If your money's not in, your
not
bracket
in the
doesn't
table.
Count.
You're not. Yeah. Doesn't work that way.
That's how you never. You always take for March Madness, Super Bowl squares, stuff like that. You got to get you money up front. Money up front in the tourney. So that's the way that this has to go. You can't sit here and be like, oh, yeah, I'll pay you at the end of the tournament when I get my allowance. No, you should be saving your allowance for March Madness. That's the way this thing goes.
I call them gambling, but bet welchers. There's a special place in hell for you.
Bet welchers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you wear green this weekend?
I didn't wear green yesterday.
On? You didn't?
We did our St. Patrick's Day stuff Saturday.
But you didn't put the green on?
We went to on Saturday I did.
Oh, you did?
Because we went to the St. Patrick's Day parade in Hillsboro, which is great. Bagpipes, cops, you know, doing the motorcycle cops doing their thing.
Sure.
Monster trucks were driving in it. It was fantastic.
I'm disappointed in myself. I forgot my tradition.
What is your tradition?
I started a new tradition 2 years ago and I forgot it already. So it's obviously not a tradition.
That's not a tradition.
I didn't have my Irish car bomb.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Not yesterday or Saturday?
No, I did not. Or did I have not have a Guinness either? It was a very it was a shoddy weekend, let's call it that.
Yeah,
not a lot of stuff on par here.
We did all of ours on Saturday. We did the parade, we did the dinner at friends, you know, the corned beef and cabbage. Different spin on it. I thanked the chef for not boiling the corned beef. He did it on the smoker.
Oh, good.
Well, you know, I mean, that's traditional corned beef and cabbage is all you just throw it all into a pot and just let it sit. So we did that whole thing. Did a couple green beers, mostly Guinness, though. It was great.
Good for you.
Did that. And then yesterday was just so nice. We just were outside all day.
So nice. Oh my gosh, it was so nice.
Finally mowed the lawn for the first time since.
Getting it done.
I don't know. November? Mm-hmm. It was good to be outside. 55305, the better you today text line. Yeah, prepay or don't play. That is what's basically coming in for your sons and his gambling network that he's starting at the middle school.
Trying to.
Well, I mean,
you got to hold kids accountable.
That's right. He needs to get a little pencil box, you know, that you do they still carry those?
Oh,
like a pencil pouch?
Of course.
And then take all the pencils out. That's your money, kitty.
Bring your money.
You know, a couple of weeks until this.
Okay, I'm going to organize it.
Don't let anyone else know that's the kitty.
Well, yeah. You take it home. And
well, you give it. Give it to a teacher and say, "Hey, please hold on to us. Don't look inside."
Oh yeah, that'll work. That'll definitely work. Especially, could you imagine doing that?
Come on.
Pulling that up with the teacher, just being like, "Hey, I'm going to need you to hold on.
To hold on to this,
Mrs. Fletcher. I need you to hold on to this. Please, just don't look into it.
Don't
whatever
look
you do."
Put a little duct tape over that.
Don't look into it.
Please open this in, say about a month.
And then when that teacher that kid walks out of the room, teacher obviously opens, it's like, what am I holding right now? I'm holding a pencil pouch full of cash.
What's wrong with a good kid's bet? Didn't you bet when you were a kid out on the playground?
Literally, I just said, well, on the playground?
Yeah. Did you have like four square gambling?
No.
You didn't?
No.
When you were playing Flies Up?
No.
You didn't have a little bet?
No.
If I get this, I get your churro?
No.
You didn't do that? I get the Sloppy Joe. If
you guys
you don't
had
get
churros? What a
no,
great
I just made
lunch
that
lady
we did
you
have
had.
Sloppy Joes and lasagna.
Yeah.
Said if I win, I get your Sloppy Joe.
Oh, no, I'm not giving up my food.
You never had enough confidence in that, huh?
No, we just, it never wasn't a thing at my school.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We
were always betting food. Lunch trades.
It wasn't quite like that. We would do the loser has to kind of bet. Like, we play a football game, losers have to, I don't know, run to so-and-so, losers have to go talk to these girls or whatever. You know, you're in third grade, so yeah, whatever the stakes are.
Okay, so yeah, but then we did do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Never cash or food, and you're not messing with my pudding cup.
Were you a lunch-packed guy, or were you a school lunch guy?
Both.
Were you? Rotation?
Kind of a back and forth. Okay. You know, it was never too consistent on either end. Yeah.
So. There you go.
All right. How do you fill out your bracket? 553-05. How do you pick your upsets? Which blue bloods do you trust and don't trust in the tournament? And do you have a theory when filling out your bracket? Text us 553-05. I don't know the for sure way to pronounce this, but CJ McCollum has a strained popliteus.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the muscle behind your knee.
Okay.
It's a strained popliteus. That injury on Saturday, it was one of those OS moments, sure. I think, for all Blazer fans. You didn't know if it was an ankle. It looked like a knee at first. Then you were going, well, it looked like he rolled his ankle. Mm-hmm. A strained popliteus. What that means for the Portland Trail Blazers moving forward will be discussed. For those of you that didn't catch it yesterday, he will be reevaluated in 1 week. So you have 1 week at least without CJ McCollum. I have some numbers in previous injuries with the strained popliteus before. It is a rare injury. I'll just put it to you that way. There's a couple instances of guys who've had it, though.
I'm certainly not going to, I'm not an orthopedist. I wonder if it has anything to do with the PCL on the backside
It's the muscle behind your knee that is range of motion, bending. It's the muscle that helps with the bending, rotation, and stability.
Because you have ACL,
yep.
MCL,
mm-hmm.
PCL, meniscus. Those are four in there.
But those are all ligaments.
Those are all ligaments.
This is a muscle.
This is a muscle tissue.
This is a muscle that helps in range of motion, bending, and stability.
Because when CJ described it, he says, I felt something in my knee, and I went, uh-oh.
And it just doesn't feel right.
Right.
I think everybody went, oh, God. But he didn't feel a pop. So we'll give you an update coming up on what this injury means for CJ McCollum and the Portland Trailblazers, because you look at the next week, these are all winnable games for Portland. And if he does miss a week, you're looking at three games missed. But more likely than not, they'll be very cautious with him. He's probably going to be out 2 weeks.
Oh, at least.
You know, yeah. And you're looking at 2 weeks, then you're in eight-game range. Mm-hmm. And where the Portland Trailblazers may stand at the end of that eight games, we'll find out. 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this date in sports history, 1995, a press release was released that was short and to the point. I'm back. And Michael Jordan ended his, I guess, break from the game of basketball. He stopped being a baseball player. I'm back and returned to the NBA.
How'd they do that year?
They won the NBA title.
95?
Oh, 95 they did not.
They did not?
No.
Because that was Houston Rockets.
The next year they did.
Yeah. He came back too late.
Scottie Pippen led them to the playoffs, though.
He did lead them to the playoffs.
I can't remember. They had like 48 wins or something like that. Yeah. They had a good year.
It was a quality year, but it's just different when you have the best player ever. He is the best player ever, folks.
Why don't we ever...
Ever.
Why don't we ever mention that, like, when LeBron leaves, teams crater? Could you imagine what would happen if LeBron's teams all of a sudden were... Like, the Cavaliers this year?
Yeah.
Were the one of the best teams in the East still?
Who's LeBron's best Robin that he's ever played with?
Oh, Scottie Pippen.
No, LeBron. It's easy, isn't it?
LeBron?
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade.
Isn't that a disservice to Dwayne Wade, though?
Why? Because
he's been at his team the entire year.
If you look at it, he's been there the whole time, but he was the second best player on both of his championships.
With Shaq.
When I say they're not both of his championships, his two separate championship runs were their dynasties. Mm-hmm. He went with Shaq, and then with LeBron, There's nothing wrong with being that. That's exactly what Scottie Pippen was. Why do we don't?
There's nothing wrong. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. All right. 55305. Better you today. Text line. Let's get into it. The Pac-12 gets three teams in, and the best team out west is the Gonzaga Bulldogs. 616 on the Fan. All right. We were doing our Today in Sports History, and you said, as Michael Jordan says, I'm back. He played the final 17 games of the regular season, and I mentioned like they won something like 48 games. They were 47-35 on the year. But when Michael Jordan came back, they were 34-31. They went 13-4 after Jordan got back. Like, so we do forget like a majority of that season they were able to tread water, right? Without Jordan, when he came back, they went on a run. And they finished the year 13-4.
Yeah.
So that Michael Jordan is fantastic, and he is that amazing. But even 34-31, could you imagine if the Cavs were a 500 team right now? We'd be like, whoa, that'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah, that just doesn't happen in today's world with the way basketball's played.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You're not allowed to have that kind of one guy can't carry you like that.
I went and I looked up the 94-95 Bulls, though. Did you know Larry Krystowiak was on that team? Utah's head
Did
coach.
Not.
Utah's head coach was on that team.
That.
I had no idea he played that long. He was 30 at that time and in the league. I had no idea he was in the league for that long in the NBA. But Utah's head coach, Larry Krystowiak, in the NBA and on the Bulls' 94-95 roster.
So on that Jordan hiatus, do you guys put any stock in the conspiracy theory?
Yes.
There was you do?
100%.
Yeah. Both of you? Silent suspension?
Yes, you know me. I'm game for a good conspiracy theory. I believe that.
I don't think it's just a conspiracy. I think it's so transparent. Y'all knew what happened with his dad, and then everything there. Come on. It's right there in front of you.
His dad was murdered on the side of the road, and then he was kind of wrecked. But couldn't you see, though, in a scenario where you're like, oh, my gosh, I need to reevaluate my life after your dad gets killed with something
absolutely.
That,
even There's if it was random. There's a combination of everything.
And then you could step away, but there is that. Michael Jordan liked to gamble. Even the flu game. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot, so much that surrounds Michael Jordan. Like, the flu game was,
the
apparently he was
pizza.
Gambling all night long in Salt Lake City.
He never slept, ever.
And he was hungover.
Yep.
A little hung chow for that game and came out and just dominated the Utah Jazz. So, there's so many conspiracies that go around with Jordan that, I'll go ahead and I'll pick that one that he sat out for a year because of gambling debts. It's totally unconfirmed, but you can connect the dots.
Sure.
Go ahead and connect the dots.
I'm just waiting for whatever happens when Michael turns 70, something to come out to just destroy his legacy.
There's absolutely no way in today's climate that any of this could ever happen. Like, if he used the suspension 1 year, not a chance in hell that ever happens. And you know that there's some big-time journalists out there that had that story and were told to shut up or your life's going to be ruined.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 55305, the Better You Today text line. We discussed it at the top of the show. The Oregon Ducks dominate the Washington Huskies in the Pac-12 title game. They win 68-48. That was, think about this, Washington 46 points and then 48 points. They are held to their season low in point totals in the last week and a half of the season, heading into the NCAA tournament where the Ducks defense stifles them and they shoot 33%.
It was the zone defense. It was the attacking. It was the speed they played with it. I mean, they baffled. And this is what zone defense does in college. We watch NBA. That's why the NBA doesn't allow zones, because it puts everybody that can't shoot right out in front of you. And you watch it. Washington didn't have the shooters. Didn't have the ability to do it. They could play defense, but they didn't have the size to hang with it. And Oregon just went right after him from the get-go. You could see just the energy of the game. Oregon wanted it more.
That first half, I was sitting there going, we got a dogfight. What is 28-26 at the break?
It was equally bad shooting, but you could just see from the get-go to me. I know it was close at half, but I'm sorry. It just looked like Oregon was just either more physical, they were faster, everything.
The thing that was pretty telling was Dana Altman in the postgame said, when we went into the halftime break, we knew that the first 5 minutes of the second half were going to tell us a lot about the team. And that first 10-minute run that they went on, Washington had no answer. Oregon was getting to the rim. Peyton Pritchard, you mentioned at the top of the show, most outstanding player of the Pac-12 tournament, God, he was lights out and kind of sealed it with a dunk that I didn't even know Peyton Pritchard had that in his repertoire.
A little elevation?
Yeah.
He didn't have that?
He never does. He never does it. But the Ducks get the automatic
bid.
He's
got a little bit of dirtbag in him, doesn't he? He runs his mouth just a little bit, and I like it.
I think, yeah.
He's got a little bit of Grayson Allen, that little bit. Not chippy to the point of, but he knows he's that good. He knows he's better than you, and the way he plays with that edge, it's what makes it so good.
Yeah.
And Bill Walton, by the way, and Dave, did you see Dave Pasch's tweet at the on Saturday?
What was it like? I'm free. Or
says
something?
I'm free.
I'm free at last.
Okay, guys.
God.
This is straight up. Let's be honest with everybody here. Bill Walton, it is unlistenable. It is so unlistenable to the point where. I took note in the entire game.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
He did not make one comment about the game whatsoever.
No.
Nothing.
No.
He said, and somebody told me to play the Conference of Champions drinking game. You're drunk in the first 3 minutes. Not only that, but also the commercials. But Bill Walton, Dave Pack, it's a cloudy fog of commenting.
My theory on Walton.
He's probably a great guy to hang out with.
It stands true. If you have a dog in the fight, he is the worst guy to be on your call. If you don't have a dog in the fight,
sure,
he's perfect. He is perfect.
I don't know if I go perfect even at that point because
it's entertaining because what he's talking about, you're like, what is this guy doing? It's entertaining. But if you want analysis on your team, you're not going to get
it from Bill Walton. Not even analysis. You're not even getting coherent sentences.
No. You should almost get two options, like the regular commentary or the Walton version.
Right.
You know, like put it on a second channel like they have like the national championship game with the coaches room. Have the Walton room.
I tweeted back at Dave Pack and I just said, you're the most patient, tolerant man in the world.
Yeah. Well, and then he gets the Van Gundy brothers when he's doing NBA games.
Jeez.
My gosh. What's the guy done to somebody at ESPN? But it was best case scenario for the Pac-12 that Oregon won that game because Selection Sunday was a surprise to many across the country. The Pac-12 gets three teams into the big dance. As Oregon is in as a 12 seed, they will be in the 12-5 matchup with the Wisconsin Badgers.
That's a good draw.
It's a great draw.
Mm-hmm.
They could
win easily two games. I got Oregon winning two games already in my bracket.
I went, ooh, really?
Yeah.
Here's a little history for you. Mm-hmm. I went and I dug up the last time, because I was like, when's the last time a Power 5 conference team was a 12 seed? And you can't be an at-large lower than an 11, okay? They have that new rule where that's why the 11 seeds are in the play-in games,
yeah.
Is because that's the lowest you can get as an at-large. The last time a Power 5 conference team, so it would be automatic bid, was a 12 seed was Oregon mm-hmm. in 2013.
Yeah.
And it was Oregon and Ole Miss back in 2013. Oregon won two games in San Jose where they're playing.
So I'm saying they'll win two games, but they'll lose to Virginia in the Sweet 16. That's where I have them.
The other 12
seed. But isn't that the one seed you'd want to play?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're going to play a one seed like that and play slow ball again with Virginia, it's not like Virginia, you're going to feel a ton of confidence.
I'd rather play Virginia slow ball than
that's
Duke
the only
talent
or Gonzaga or North Carolina.
Yeah, I would too. Well, we can get into all this.
The other 12 seed that year, Ole Miss, beat Wisconsin in a 12-5 matchup. So it's all kind of coming full circle. It's in San Jose. Ducks are 12. Wisconsin is the 5. And they've, by the way, met up two other times in the NCAA tournament, Wisconsin and Oregon have. But Oregon, Washington, a 9 seed. How are you feeling about a 9 draw?
Okay.
I'd rather have a 12 than a 9.
Well, they're playing Utah State. I know nothing about Utah State. Come on. I'm not going to pretend I know anything about
Mitt Romney. So
okay. The problem is that they'd have to play North Carolina in the second round. So
Chucky Keaton. Didn't Merlin Olsen go to Utah State?
I don't know. No idea.
I'm just going to name people that went to Utah State.
I already picked them to win one game, but they're not beating North Carolina.
So. See, and that's why you'd rather be a 12.
Of course you would.
Is it time to dust off Know Your Foe?
Yes, absolutely it is.
A little Wisconsin and Utah State knowledge?
Absolutely, it's time to get that going right now. And the Zags are a number one seed as well. The only number one seed.
Non-conference champ.
Number one seed that is not from the ACC. The Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Look at that.
My God. All right, 55305. Cam's got two upsets already in his bracket. How do you fill yours out? Do you have a method to your madness? 55305, the Better You Today text line. Here's Buck.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
249-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Dusty, Eric, Cam, Cleland with you. We have got the NCAA tournament is upon us. Brackets are going to be filled out across the country. I think more brackets are filled out than Americans live in the United States of America, which is a big problem. Means that there's a lot of guys that go, and gals, that go 5, 6, 7 brackets apiece.
Yeah.
Are you a one bracket?
I'm a one bracket. I only do one bracket. I'm just because we're required to. It's part of my thing. I've never really gambled on a bracket my entire life. Mm-hmm. Never have. Mm-hmm. I've helped people fill out brackets as much as I'd be like, yeah, try this. Not an expert.
Yeah.
Certainly. Not a big gambler. Only a gamble on things that I can control. Is that weird? But yeah, I'm weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not weird. But that's part of gambling is the unknown of it all.
Sure. I get the allure
of
it.
Have you ever purchased stock?
What do you mean purchase stock?
Stock market.
Yeah. You know what, Ryan? That's fair to say. Yes.
Gambling on things you can't control?
I completely agree with that. You think it's any different investing money? And yeah, no, it's not really.
Very true.
Yeah.
I mean, that is. It's an investment in the NCAA tournament.
Do you consider gambling an investment?
Gamble responsibly.
No, I do not.
You shouldn't. No, you should not.
They're the same, but they're not the same.
Buck, are you a multi-bracket guy?
I'm not a multi-bracket guy, but I am a multi-avenues of betting during the tournament guy.
Okay. So you bet the money lines then?
I will bet individual games with friends, but I also, like you mentioned Super Bowl squares earlier, I'm in a bracket squares pool where instead of like four winners, you can get six. There's like, it's for every single game. There's a square.
How does that work?
You basically, you put your money in the pot and then they pay out like, I don't know, it's $25 a square and it's $30 for every game that gets paid out.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. Buck's just a degenerate.
He is totally. What is it about that seat that turns everybody into degenerate gamblers?
You have to be one to
Tell
get
me
that,
that
seat.
Well, I think you'd have to be because everybody that sits there is the degenerate gambler.
Yeah. 55305, the Better You Today text line. I have multi brackets, but I usually, because I'm in multi pools. I've got pools with college buddies. I've got our fan pool. But I will say the one bracket that is my money bracket is I fill it out the same for every single one.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like, because there's that fear of the unknown where you sit there and you're like, you overthink yourself if you fill out three or four. But so I have multiple pools I'm in, same bracket I like to go with on every single one. Now we got to figure out how you fill out your bracket.
So before we go bracket, I wanted to give you my just kind of a mini synopsis because this wasn't a light bulb that hit me. But when I see college basketball, and every year I get to this point, we get to March and I go, the excitement of March Madness. And I use the analogy with, or I think to college football, I go, you know what college basketball, as much as we harp on the fact that nobody cares about college basketball until 1 month or prior to the month of March, because we start really getting interested in it. You know what college basketball does better than college football? It allows you to become a better team at the end of the season.
Yes.
College football does something that drives me insane. And the more I start to really look into it and analyze the fact that college football asks you to do this, and think about this. You have to be perfect from the start. Who's great coming out of the gate? Do we all just come out of the gate perfect in the first month? Do we come out great in the first couple games? And if you don't, you're punished for getting better. College football finds a way to tell you on a consistent basis that, heaven forbid, you think about getting better at the end of the year. College basketball will allow you the ability to find it out. Oregon is an excellent example coming out of the gate to tell you you lost your star. Your other star is not great. But now you finish with 9 straight wins, and you're going to go into the tournament, and I guarantee everybody's looking at them going, I don't want to play these guys right now.
No.
How good are you? College football needs to stop with this crap where you have to be great from the start, and it only allows a certain amount of teams. Look, they stack the deck to do that, But I'm not trying to change this narrative into college football versus college basketball. But that is why we get so agitated with how football runs it at the end of the year. And college basketball does a great job with it. You could have 10 losses and go right on in and figure it out and get better. Heaven forbid we get better in sports.
The prime example of this is historically Stanford.
Yeah.
Stanford, when they went to the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl with Andrew Luck and Jim Harbaugh's last year, that was one of the best teams in all of college football at the end of the year. They lost early, though. This year, Stanford, have you seen Stanford's schedule this season? It's insane.
Oh, yeah, of course
they,
it is.
They play their first 4 weeks, Northwestern, at USC, at Central Florida, Oregon. Mm-hmm. That's their first 4 weeks of the year. They will be written off and done by that point.
But why? College football is, I'm telling you, an only sport in the world as we sit where you're not allowed to get better at the end of the year. It's built for only teams to be successful for the first probably 3 to 4 weeks. After that, you're just holding on. You're holding for it the rest of the year. And because you're already wiped clean, it's like they have a tournament that starts August 31st.
Exactly.
And then they wipe out 70% of the entire thing. NBA basketball does it great. NCAA baseball, NCAA basketball, college softball, everything that we watch allows you to become a better athlete and a better team with time.
Yeah.
And then we tell them, oh, well, college football, we're not allowed to do that.
No, and you really aren't. Because at the end of the year, Stanford will play Washington State, Cal, and Notre Dame. Those are their final three games. Two of those three are going to probably be ranked, and Notre Dame's going to be ranked very highly. Stanford beats them at the end of the year, it'll ruin Notre Dame's season because they're going to be like, well, Stanford, I mean, they lost at the beginning of the year, back in September, where it's a completely different team 3 months later than they were at the beginning of the year. And I'm so with you on that. It is perfect. Because if you had a 16-team playoff in college football, if you had 16-team playoff, Stanford gets in, they could make a run. And it would be a scary team.
It's a matter of time before we start seeing this. I do believe that we get there. But this is why we love college basketball right now. Filling out brackets, because now we get to bet on somebody like, oh, I don't know, a Georgia State again. Or we get to see something who's a unique team that's going to come. UNC, Chicago. What was it? Did I say UNC?
Loyola.
UNC, Loyola.
Loyola, Chicago.
Loyola, Chicago.
Sister Jean
is going to make it all the way through. Who's Sister Jean this year?
I have one team that it could be, and I will tell you my reasoning for not picking the Cinderella that everybody has busting brackets all over the March Madness tournament. As we are going through how you pick your March Madness picks, filling out your bracket. What's the method to your madness? Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. How do you pick your bracket in your upsets, your Cinderellas? How do you fill out the March Madness that is your bracket? 55305, the Better You Today text line. Upsets are something that you always want to do, but do you go chalk? How do you pick your upset? This texter says, for the 8-9 game, I always take the team with the better free throw percentage.
Hmm.
Wonder how that works. I mean, you're obviously assuming that it's going to be a tight game because of the 8-9 matchup.
Yeah.
That's an odd one to go off of, just free throw percentage.
You know what strategy I'm using this year, as strange as it sounds?
No.
3-point percentage.
Oh.
So the
really?
Team with the, if I have a toss up, I go with the team with a better 3-point percentage.
Okay.
I know free throw percentage. Anyway, I just think it's more of a shooting game at this point. And I think a lot of teams get lazy in the tournament and they play a lot of zone. And a lot of zone means you're going to get a lot of outside shots unless you have really good bigs. So I don't see a lot of great bigs in this that can score on the inside all the time. You got to be able to shoot.
Well, the Ducks have got the best one in the country in Ethan Happ, the big man out of Wisconsin in the first round. I mean, he is dynamite on the block. Michigan's got good bigs too. Michigan's got really
like
good
I said,
bigs.
I don't
they
know.
Got beat yesterday.
Yeah.
I have a theory on picking. I go down quite the rabbit hole. Picking a double-digit seed to the Elite Eight is a pretty smart bet, right? I mean, like, you pick one, you find that team, and you ride them. Sweet 16, obviously, getting to that point is a good call. But I always have one going to the Elite Eight because, well, we've had five teams now make double-digit seeds make a Final Four. Loyola last year. Yeah. Syracuse in 2016 was in a 10 seed, and they made it. And then you have, like, LSU, George Mason, and VCU have all made it as double-digit seeds to a Final Four. But I always say I don't have them ever going to a Final Four. But I usually go off of a few criteria here. Never pick the Cinderella everybody's talking about.
Right.
Never. Because was anybody talking about Loyola Chicago last year?
No, not at all.
Nobody was.
This or George year, Mason when they went to the Final Four. Yeah. Or any of those.
VCU.
You're right. Yeah.
It's an under the radar.
The one team this year that everybody's drooling over, and they're in the play-in game, and I don't understand why people think that they're going to... Belmont. Belmont is the team that everybody's like, they can win a game.
I would not know that.
They can win a game. Money's on Belmont.
And I feel like people say that about Belmont every year.
I would, because they beat Duke, right? Or did... Were they the one that beat Duke or Kansas? One of them beat
They're from
Duke.
Missouri, so I think that it was more likely they would have beat Kansas.
Are they from Missouri or Tennessee?
Yeah, I think they're from St. Louis.
Huh. Also, never take a team in scandal. LSU right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would pick Yale over LSU right now.
Like Yale or some good. Ivy League school is always good for a first round
because
win.
Because it's a 14-3 matchup. Will Wade isn't coaching. They got thumped in the SEC tournament. I never pick a team in scandal, so I'm going again. Those are my two criteria I have right now.
I like it.
One, never go with everybody's Cinderella. Two, never pick a team in scandal. See Arizona last year. Arizona got thumped.
So this year. Better You Today text line, this one comes in a couple different ones. One year I killed it using RPI rankings, which I could tell you I have no idea what the RPI rankings are. I haven't looked at any of it.
They don't even use it anymore.
Yeah,
it
doesn't make any sense. And the other one, which I like, senior-laden mid-majors.
Oh, in Gonzaga.
Veterans. I say veterans in college, but anybody that's played 3 years of college basketball is considered, well, 2 years, sorry, in today's world, veterans. But anybody's got a lot of seniors.
Well, and that's the scary part about playing Wisconsin every year in the
tournament.
They're
always full of them.
Is that if you look at, you know, with they have Ethan Happ, who's a fifth-year senior on their team this year. And I've heard that Liberty is one of those teams this year. I know nothing about the Liberty Flames.
Nor do I.
Hand up. Yep. Known zero about them. But Liberty Mississippi State appears to be a team that has a bunch of veterans that are seniors on it.
There you go.
That's my criteria for it. Buck, how do you pick your brackets?
It's a combination of some of the stuff that you guys have already discussed. Cam, like picking something like free throw percentage or 3-point percentage is something that I think can be valuable. I like to do a little combination of like senior leadership. Do they have experience there? And then the two things I look at are turnovers. I think that the teams who turn the ball over a lot turn it over more in March Madness because of the pressure. Teams who turn it over less tend to be tighter with the ball and turn it over less. So I think that's a big indicator. Also, opponent field goal percentage. If you play good defense, you can hold your opponents into just taking tougher shots all game, you're going to bode a little bit better.
That's some depth of research there. There's a lot of criteria. You really go right into that depth. At some point in time, you're going to look at this bracket and go Nevada, Florida, which I have Florida going into the end of the Sweet 16. I just feel something. I can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense.
How well that methodology has served me, because I can't remember the last time I won a bracket pool.
True.
Well, and then hot teams win. Hot teams win. Remember UConn? Remember when UConn won the national championship and they went through the Big East tournament and they had no
Shabazz
shot
Napier.
And whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
Basel. And you go through, if you are hot, hot teams win. Oregon has won 8 in a row, and you always sit there and you're like, when is the clock going to strike midnight?
If Oregon's going to make a Final Four, you got to love the fact they're in the South, because all you got is Tennessee and Virginia, and you're not scared with, I mean, look, I know that Tennessee's a pretty good basketball. I mean, from what I'm not going to act like it's bad, but that's a pretty good draw.
Yeah, the whole South region is you don't have a lot of tempo. In that, like, you're not going to get in a bunch of track meets with the exception of Tennessee. A lot of really good defensive teams.
Then you have the defending national champions in there, which isn't, I don't know
if as a sixth seed.
Yeah, it's not fair to give them a sixth seed and go, oh, just forget about them.
Did you see the selection show viral video of the freshman who, when they did the live looking at Villanova's thing,
yes,
he
saw
stood
this.
Up and like he was getting Everyone's
ready to
looking
clap around like,
and was,
sit down.
He's like, oh crap, you're not supposed to celebrate a six seed.
Bro, we don't clap for six seeds.
Yeah, we're defending national champions.
Yeah, two-time national champs in the last 4 years.
Our season,
what are you
excited
for? Our season's
a disappointment now.
Wait, so Dusty, do you know the double seed that or the double-digit seed you're going to ride? Is it the Ducks? Is it somebody else? TBD?
It is TBT. I got two of them that I'm thinking. Mm. It's the Ducks because I have another. My one other criteria is if you have a bona fide star, watch out. In Ja Morant at Murray State.
I knew you were going with that. But and that's sexy.
Now, the fact that everybody knows that, I'm probably not going to do it. So that means they're beating
Gonzaga in the Sweet 16, huh?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But if you're talking going to the Sweet 16, I might have to go with Ja Morant.
So a star.
In
a 6 foot
Murray State.
4'3" star, 6'2", 6'3" star.
Dude is a baller.
I know he's good.
I love watching his highlights. That's all I've seen.
Yeah.
I saw an awesome stat on him that his points, rebounds, and assists combined are just 1/10 shy of Trae Young for the most anybody's done in the last, 25 years in college basketball.
Wow. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line.
Is this the year of the Zag?
No. Yes, it absolutely is.
It's some year it's going to happen. Is it eventually going to happen?
Yes. All right.
They got close. They got close against North Carolina.
55305, Better You Today text line. We'll get to some of your feedback. How do you pick your March Madness bracket? Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.